This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit BestWestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the How to Hunt Turkey podcast. Today I am joined by none other than my wife, Caroline Greer. We're very excited to have Caroline on the podcast today. And by we, I mean me. I don't know why I said we. That's kind of weird. Now, Caroline is not exactly an experienced turkey hunter, but she is my wife. And so therefore, we are going to talk about all things marriage and hunting and how to make those two things work together. Now, I'm going to start with a huge caveat. We are not experts. This is not advice. We are simply talking about stuff that has worked for us. It may or may not work for you, but it has worked for us. So, Caroline, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, let's talk about your childhood growing up. What were some of your deepest traumas? No, I'm just kidding. I want to talk about... What was your relationship to hunting? For those listening at home, you probably don't know this, but Caroline is from Canada, so not really known for, you know, hunting by Americans, but there's a lot of hunting going on up there. So when you were growing up, what did you think about fishing and hunting? Really anything or what?
Well, so my brother used to hunt with Gerard Vandenbogart, who was actually on the podcast just a couple episodes ago, I think, or something.
Yep.
And so he used to hunt with Gerard, my brother did, and they would go deer hunting and goose hunting and just all that for fishing, my dad had a tackle box, and so the smell of like those like rubbery lures is really like nostalgic, but I don't really, we fish sometimes in the summer, but I don't really have like a lot of hunting or fishing memories other than those.
Gotcha. So your brother didn't hunt a ton, but he would go occasionally. Did he bring stuff back? What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, usually the Vannibal guards would like process the deer with my brother Charlie, and then we'd get some venison to have. And then when he'd go goose hunting, then he would usually bring that back and cook it at home.
Okay, nice. So you were not totally uninitiated to hunting or anything like that.
No, because we grew up with a lot of hunters at church. So
okay, yeah. So then you meet this random person from Missouri who decides to date you.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, when we first started dating, I was mostly into fishing. Yes. I was not as hardcore into hunting as I am now. So what did you think when you started dating this guy and you find out he's really into fishing? Was that good, bad? How did you think about that?
I mean, I didn't think it was bad at all. Because a lot of times we went on dates and fished and just all that. I mean, I always liked it because I didn't really grow up eating a lot of fish. So it was kind of nice when I'd come visit you and you'd feed me fish.
Yeah.
Something different.
I'm trying to remember. Did we go fish that farm pond? Was that our first fishing trip together?
I think, yeah.
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 Yeah, so a pretty good experience. And then not too long after that, I decided we should do that again. And we went down below the dam, and we were going to catch fish, and I was going to cook them. I brought this, like, portable grill. And I was like, this is going to go great. We were gonna catch bluegill, use those to catch catfish, and we had like two sweet potatoes with us.
Yeah, we brought those with us, and I think butter and like
just all the fixings.
Lemons and
Yeah. So we fished. We did not catch any catfish. Nope. We caught a couple of bluegill,
and they were very small.
They were not huge, and I decided like let's cook them, and I was terrified of not cooking the fish all the way. So yep. I essentially burned them to death to where there was no fish left.
Yep. The best part of that whole meal was the sweet potatoes.
Yes. When it all came down to it, the only thing edible that we had left was the sweet potatoes, and best I've ever had.
It's true.
Yeah.
Best I've ever had. We were very hungry at that point, so who knows?
Yeah. But for some reason, you continued to date me even after that.
Yep.
And I think that's a big thing I was looking for when dating was I was looking for someone who would try new things and who wouldn't just leave me at the earliest inconvenience. And so you didn't. So
nope.
So that was pretty good. What was going through your head, though, when I took you out here and completely failed to provide any food for you?
On that trip?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You don't know what was going through your head.
I think I was probably hungry.
Hunger was going through your head?
Probably. Because didn't hilarious. I say to you at one point, like, can we just cook these or something?
Can we what?
Can we just cook these fish?
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Right, because we were going to use them for bait.
Trying to catch the catfish.
Yeah.
And I think we had gotten past the point of just a little hunger.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, but we lived through that. Okay. And then we got married right before COVID. So we got married, and I think, maybe 6 months later, it was March of 2020. And so with the whole world shutting down, I had a lot more time to hunt, and specifically to turkey hunt. And I believe that I went turkey hunting every day of that first season,
year
we were married. So what was that like for you? You've moved to Missouri from Canada. The entire world has shut down, and now your husband is gone from the hours of 4 a.m. till 1 p.m. every day.
Yep.
How'd that go?
Not great.
Not good.
No, not great, because I felt like kind of alone and just like didn't know exactly the hours of turkey hunting, and so it just kind of felt like you were gone all the time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I obviously didn't really know much about turkey hunting or...
Sure, and I didn't either, and that's why I was gone every day of season. I couldn't figure it out. So if I'm remembering correctly, I think one of the days I went down and there were a bunch of fish in the creek, there were a bunch of suckers, and I was like, hey, come down here and fish. And you hiked all the way in with me, and we caught like one tiny fish. And that was it, right?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, so I've heard before that people have said like hunting is nothing more than exercise in managing expectations. And in that situation, that's kind of all you were able to do. You just had to keep managing your expectations. But through that, I kind of learned, hey, there has to be a balance here. I'm not just by myself anymore. Yeah. Because, I mean, we were a long-distance relationship. So it wasn't like I could go just hang out with you.
No, except for one. A lot of our relationship was far apart, and we did our own thing.
Yeah, so it would be like once every 3 months, we would spend an entire week hanging out all day every day. Yeah. And then other than that, we wouldn't. Yeah. And so being married, it was trying to like work out that balance of, it's really nice to have this time to myself, but I don't want to forget the people around me, sort of. So
yeah.
What were some things we did to try and kind of work out that balance?
I don't know.
You don't know. Maybe we never did. No, so I've always tried really hard to be the one to put a cap on how much time I spend outside so that you never have to. And I think that's a thing that's very helpful, is that way you don't have to always feel like you're being the bad guy. And you've always said that. You've hardly ever said no to me if I've really wanted to go hunting. And I think that part of the reason we're able to do that is because I try really hard to limit myself so that you don't feel like you have to do
that. Yeah, because I've expressed to you that, like, I don't want to tell you that you can't go do what you love.
Right.
Because I know that when you go do what you love, you're a better, like, human in general, because your brain is just more at peace and all of that. So for me to tell you no for hunting, I just don't want to do that. And so it makes it hard if it's something like, I need you to be home, but I also don't want to tell you no. So that's where it's good when you can draw a line there so that I don't have to be the bad guy.
Yeah. And it also helps too that you're a reasonable person. You don't demand that I'm home at all times.
No.
All the day long or anything like that. So it's a very reasonable request. And that's just such a nice thing, is to find a reasonable partner. And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, have not had that.
Yeah.
So in all of that turkey hunting, I finally did end up getting a turkey. And we got to eat turkey.
We did.
Was that your first time eating wild turkey?
I don't think so. No, it wouldn't have been, because I think that I would have eaten it like growing up with Phantom Bogards, probably.
Okay.
But it's the first time that I could actually, like, remember eating it.
Yeah. Yeah, also, if you're hearing any weird random noises, I guess the neighbors are playing music really loud. So this is what I get for having a podcast outside of my normal studio. So anyways, just had to address that because I was about to start laughing. But, you know, one thing we got to do with this turkey is we got to experiment lots of different recipes. Yeah. And, you know, I think a big part of marriage is you build your own culture. You know, you have your family recipes. I have my family recipes. But we did some stuff with this turkey that we never did with anything else. Like, I believe you made some turkey by yourself one time. It was, I can't remember the name of it. What was the name of that dish?
That's I don't know.
Okay, so it was the one.
For all of you listening, he has a way better brain for remembering things than I do.
Golly, I cannot remember what that was called. But another thing we did besides that, that was my first time harvesting a turkey. So I had the turkey legs and the thighs, and I didn't really know what to do with them. But I came across a recipe for turkey carnitas, and it involved pressure cooking the turkey legs in an Instant Pot and shredding it. And that ended up being a thing that we have done millions of times.
Yeah, because I don't know much about turkey in general, but the tendons in the turkey legs are really annoying to deal with. So when we pressure cook it, it's something that we can kind of, I don't know.
We can use.
Yeah, and it just makes it a lot easier to handle it.
Yeah, it's an incredibly versatile thing just to have the shredded turkey. And a lot of people don't even eat the legs and thighs. And you're missing out on something like half of the turkey when you do that.
And good meat.
Absolutely. Now, Caroline is a world-class soup maker. She loves to make soup all the time. And I, of course, did not grow up in Canada, so we're not eating soup here ever. So you would make soup with the turkey, like your Dutch soup and stuff like that, too, right?
Yeah, I've made, like, a bunch of different things with the turkey. Sometimes, I think we did, like, a, not a chili, but, like, some type of thing, like a stew or a chili or whatever with turkey, like leftovers, I think, or something. Yeah. I just threw it all together.
We were not always able to work in the kitchen together.
No.
When we first got married, it was like either you are cooking or I am cooking. And we're at a place now where we both cook. We can cook together and all of that. So how did we get from not being able to work together cooking to being able to do that?
You are a very gracious man. Because, I mean, I grew up where when you work in the kitchen and you're making something, my mom taught us you use something, you put it away. That way it makes the cleanup a lot easier. And then you just keep things tidy. It makes your workstation a whole lot easier. And you were slash kind of still are the type to leave everything out and then deal with it all later. And I just feel like that's, it's so chaotic.
It's absolutely chaotic. And this is where humility comes in. Because I have learned through humility that the way you do it is much better. So you cook as you go. So if you use something, you clean it up, put it away. Yeah. Now, it's not like you wash all the dishes in real time, but if you use the salt, you put the salt away. If you use the olive oil, you put it
away. Obviously, unless I'm going to use it again. But if it's something where you're like, baking, if you use flour in a recipe, you're obviously not going to use it again. So put it away.
Yeah. And that was really huge. So, you know, in marriage, the older you get, the more stubborn you become. Some people are already extremely stubborn as children. And when you get married, and me too, when you get married, you have to try and figure out how to be less stubborn and more humble. And I think that that's where a lot of this comes in, is trying to learn to trust your partner to be on your side and to have your best interest at heart. And I'm extremely lucky to have someone who is like that anyway. Not everybody does. But I think that assumption goes a long way towards intention. If I assume the best from you, that brings the best out of you.
Yeah.
And if you assume the best from me, that brings the best out of me. Whereas if we assume the opposite, that also happens. You assume the worst, and the worst can happen often, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so we really love to eat turkey.
We do, yep.
So that really helps a lot on when I want to go turkey hunting.
And you know, this is a random fact to throw in there, but and venison, but turkey works really well in place of chicken for like Indian cuisine.
Yeah.
So like butter chicken, like all those things.
Absolutely.
We love so to do good. That. Turkey, tikka masala.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We love all of those things. And I try really hard not to create a huge mess and not clean it up, which is my tendency, right? But what I'm meaning there is I don't just come home and plop down a whole dead turkey, guts and all, on the counter in the sink.
No, you've never done that, which I really appreciate.
I think
it probably started with your dad.
Yeah.
he learned from his dad to not bring something home that wasn't already gutted and taken care of.
Yeah, so my dad has always hunted growing up, and when he was first married, he brought home a deer, and he and my mom processed this deer on their kitchen table. And that night, apparently, mom had nightmares of just not decapitated, but severed deer legs chasing her. And dad was never allowed to bring whole anything home again. And that's something that I really tried hard to do, is like, if I'm bringing fish back, I just bring home fillets, which lately I have gotten lazy, and I'll bring entire fish home now, and I will clean them in the kitchen, but I will keep a bucket for all the carcasses, and then I will take it out.
Take and throw it out.
And wipe everything down and clean it all off.
Yeah. That's the thing, is it's like, I mean, fish aren't really that bloody.
Right.
But when you bring the fish home, I know you're going to clean up afterwards. because you've proven the fact that you are going to bring home something that's either already filleted or whatever and is ready to cook. Basically, you just have to put it in a package for freezing. Or when you do bring something home, I know you're going to clean up afterwards because you've set that in place that you're not going to make a mess with that stuff because that's not what you want to do.
Yeah.
So that makes it nice.
Yeah. And it all goes to creating our own culture, right? There might be people out there that's wife would love for them to bring home an entire turkey so that they can help work it up. I don't know who that would be, but maybe that's happened. I don't know. But in our house, I try my very best not to make a terrible mess and leave it because that builds goodwill towards hunting. And that's what I'm always trying to do. I think that another big important thing is if you're going to have a sort of selfish hobby, which involves me going out by myself and enjoying nature by myself and then coming home super tired, right? Mm-hmm. All of that is tired or is selfish. You cannot really hunt and get to be a bad husband. You have to work very hard at being a good husband because if you don't, then it's just a situation where all that you do ends up being selfish. And that's not really what you want, right? You want to be a good husband. You want to be a good wife. And you want to have a good relationship. And so that's why it's so important to learn all of these little things and little preferences, too. Like, I know that there are certain fish Caroline really likes. Caroline really likes to eat whole fish. Mm-hmm. I find it to be a bit of a hassle. But it's very easy to process a whole fish because you just gut them and scale them and then they're ready for the grill or anything like that. And so we have a whole lot of whole fish.
We do.
And we're healthy.
Just the other day I was scared by one in the freezer.
How did that happen?
Well, I was trying to figure out what I could eat for supper, something that I could thaw somewhat quickly. And so I was digging through our little, like, what is it? How big of a freezer is it? It's just
it's like a five cubic foot.
Yeah, so it's just like a little square deep freezer. And so I was digging through there to try to find something for supper. And I forgot that he had this like massive whole rainbow trout in that freezer. And it was at the bottom. Like, I know that there are fish and weird things in our freezer because I live with Jace.
Yep.
But so I was digging through and then all of a sudden I came across this fish. And like, how big is that fish?
It's 22 inches.
Yeah, that's I was going to say that. But it's a large fish and it just was staring at me.
Yes, and I do have this tendency to hoard wild game because I traditionally have been a pretty bad fisherman and an even worse hunter. So as I've learned more and had some more success, I'm really bad about just throwing everything in the freezer and forgetting about it. And Caroline's really good about reminding me that we need to eat this giant fish in our freezer.
True. Or we need to make trout dip with it.
Yes, that is.
That is the thing to do with rainbow trout.
That is absolutely the best.
He has the best recipe for it.
Yep. Now, some things that also happened in our first year of marriage regarding to our refrigerator. With every turkey season, it is also morel season.
Say this.
Except I did not mention to Caroline that's something that I even did.
Well, I knew about it, I think, because when we were dating, you went morel hunting.
All right.
So I knew about it. I just didn't know what you're about to tell them would happen.
Well, why don't you tell them what happened from your perspective?
So I knew that you did go morel mushroom hunting. Because it was a thing that you like to do with Papa John.
Yep.
And still do if you get the chance. And so I knew that it was in that season and everything. But what I did not know is how you like to keep them in the fridge before you eat them or before you like freeze them. So that it, that way, anyways. So basically I went to the fridge one day and opened it up and I didn't scream, but I did yell, kind of, because these morel mushrooms were in a clear container with a lid in water, and I had, for either your birthday or Christmas, I had gotten you some clear containers for, like, fish and anything that you went hunting or whatever, so that way it was, like, designated containers that were also leak-proof.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were in one of those containers in water. And I don't know if anyone of you have ever seen morel mushrooms in water, but they look like little brains.
Mm-hmm.
And so it looked like he was being a mad scientist and had these little brains in our fridge.
Yeah, you thought I had like gone squirrel hunting and put all their brains in water and stuck them in the fridge, right?
I don't even know. I just knew that it looked like brains.
Yep. So that's a word of advice. If you're going to put morel mushrooms in the fridge, let your spouse know. So I always do now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we are in our fifth year of marriage.
Yep.
And you did not tell me there were turkey feet in our drawer the other day.
That is
true. I did
true.
Come across that, and that was a little alarming, but...
Yep.
I have also come to expect a random heart in the fridge or something.
Yes, that does happen, and Caroline is very patient with it. But I think you touched on something that was very important just a minute ago. You talked about these clear containers you got me for my birthday, right?
Birthday or something. Christmas or something.
So they're Rubbermaid.
Probably your birthday because it's in the summer.
Yeah, these plastic containers that are, like you said, leak-proof, waterproof. Yep. And those are the ones that I could use to put all sorts of random stuff in. And it's very helpful to have my own containers.
It is. Now, we have gotten away from that because you did, like, a year or two ago get a vacuum sealer.
Yes.
And so that has been great because those just, like, seal it up way better. And also save on space in either your fridge or your freezer or whatever.
Yes.
So that has been really nice. So we don't really use... You don't really use those containers anymore for... fishing or hunting or anything.
So
you usually use the vacuum.
Yeah, that's sealer. A huge marriage tip. Get a vacuum sealer.
Yes.
Vacuum seal your stuff. It lasts better and longer and takes up less space, and it's really nice that way. Yeah, absolutely. So we've got our containers, our personal containers, and full of morels, and they scare you to death. So that's something we try to avoid now.
Usually you're pretty good with letting me know what's happening. And you know, the odd time I'll find a turkey fan vacuum sealed and stuck in our fridge for some reason.
Yeah. This year when I shot my turkey, we ended up being really busy for the next few days. So I had to just kind of... And that's a pro tip. If you don't have time to deal with your turkey fan right away, if you can vacuum seal it... And what you do is you just make the seal and you make a really big bag and you put your turkey fan in it and you seal it... But don't let it auto seal because it'll hurt your feathers because it'll seal too tight. But you seal that down and then stick it in your fridge and it'll keep for, I think,
I
ended up leaving
it
for a week or two and it was still totally fresh when I took it out. So that was.
Yeah, because then you were able to open it up and make the fan without it being in like horrible.
Yeah.
Rotting flesh.
Right.
Situation.
Which, unfortunately, we have gotten into some of those in the past. Like, for instance, if you use your vacuum sealer on fish and some of the fish meat and juice gets up into that little tray that catches it, and then you forget about it for a couple days, it will make some powerful smells. And you got to watch out for that. Now, you were saying that I'm always really good at letting you know what's happening. But that's not always true.
No.
There are times when I do not remember to let you know what's happening, specifically when I'm going bow fishing.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to tell our viewers what happened there?
Yes. So Jace and his friend Damien, who was on the podcast a while back, and then oftentimes our brother-in-law, Nate, they like to go bow fishing, and typically that's at night. And so normally, like, they go out in the evening, and I always ask when you're going to be home. But, and then you usually will either say we'll be home in the middle of the night sometime, like 2 or whatever, or you'll say I don't know, which usually means you'll be out all night.
Yes, I will say I really appreciate that you let me sometimes be vague with when I will be back because I legitimately don't know sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I try not to tell you something that I have no way of knowing if it's true or not. So I try to always leave it vague that way. And that's what I did on this night. I was like, I'm not really sure how long we'll be gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To which you asked me to do what because of that?
Well, so I asked you to let me know
uh-huh.
when... like when you were going to get back. All
totally
that.
Reasonable. Yeah. And I said, I will.
Yeah. And then I never heard from you.
Yeah. And then I didn't.
Yeah.
But usually I'm home by the time you wake up, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Usually I don't like, usually I'm not one to wake up in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
But I woke up that night at like, well, morning at like 5 a.m. or something. Mm-hmm. And typically either I will wake up when you come in and crawl into bed, or I'll wake up and you're already there.
Mm-hmm.
Just depends on how heavy I'm sleeping. But that night I woke up at 5, rolled over, and I was like, oh my gosh, he is not in our bed and it's 5 a.m. Where is he? Because I think that was the one night that you were out like the longest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
And so I texted you and I was like, are you alive?
Uh-huh.
And then you didn't really respond.
Didn't respond at all.
No. And so I was like, babe.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally
then you
responded.
Fell back asleep, right? You fell back yeah. asleep. You woke up again at...
I think it was just it was like a little bit later. I don't think it was long.
I think it was 7. And you texted me again.
I don't remember the timeline exactly. I just remember I was like, hello.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so then I was like, are you okay? Mm-hmm. Like, please answer me. And then you did, obviously.
Right. And so the classic miscommunication that happened there was I was out bow fishing and I thought, it's 5 in the morning. We're about to head home. I don't want to text my wife and wake her up at 5 in the morning because I wouldn't want to be woken up at 5 in the morning. But you can't assume that everybody wants the same things as you. Well, then we end up getting into more fish. And then I fished for 2 more hours without even thinking about it.
Right.
Then the sun came up.
Yeah.
And I still had not texted you.
Well, no, because wasn't that the day that you came home at like 10 or 11 a.m.?
Yeah, it was. We put the boat up at 11, so I was home at like noon or 1. Yeah. So daylight comes, and we hear fish splashing everywhere, and the carp are spawning. So then we bow fished for several more hours. So then you woke up at like 8 or 9 o'clock to start your day. And I wasn't home, and I hadn't texted you at all.
No.
And you were
I think at that point you had texted me saying that you were okay, but just not any other details.
Right. And you were rightfully concerned because I just wasn't answering. But again, I was like, oh, I don't want to bother you.
Yep.
But I've learned you want to be bothered.
Yes.
So now I text you knowing that you will sleep right through any text that I send you anyways.
Yeah, because I find it very comforting that if I do wake up in the middle of the night or like at 5 a.m. or whatever, I can wake up to texts that say, hey, like we're all good. This is where we are. Or like we're going to stay out a little longer. Or maybe even we're putting the boat up. I should be home at this time.
Mm-hmm. I never tell you where we are. Don't want you stealing our spots.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's just a really important thing. And, you know, everybody needs something different. Caroline likes to be told stuff. There are people that don't.
Whereas his mom would not like to be woken up for anything.
Not at all.
Yeah, like if dad was out hunting, she would not want to know where he is. Yeah, she wants to sleep.
And I think that it's really easy, like, if I'm out turkey hunting, you'll ask me to text you once in a while, and I usually won't, because I'll get there,
and then
I'm hunting,
distracted.
And I'm not thinking about that. So I think it's good to sometimes be honest and just say, hey, I am not going to think about it,
and
just lay that out, like, okay, I can try to remember to text you when I get there, and try to text you and remember when I leave, and I usually can do that, but I don't always do that.
Well, I think the helpful thing, this is, like, such a random fact, but... The one nice thing is because you have a smartwatch, you get notified if I text you. So if you are out hunting and you did forget to text me, I can always message you. And I know that typically you'll see that message and you usually respond pretty quickly if I text you to just see like what's happening.
Yeah. And a lot of times.
So get a smartwatch.
Yeah, get a smartwatch. It helps a
that
lot.
That alerts you of texts.
Yeah. But it is really helpful though that you don't check in too much. You usually just let me hunt while I'm hunting. And you know,
because
well,
I also don't
want to
be a distraction, because then if you're out hunting and you move too much and then you scare
miss
the animals.
Turkey.
Yeah.
And then we don't get turkey nuggets.
And then we can't eat good food.
And that would be so sad. Let's see. So I'm trying to think. So this year, turkey season, how did I do? Let's grade my turkey season for keeping you well informed.
I think you did really good.
Really good?
Yeah.
Awesome. I wouldn't have expected that.
Well, okay, so here's the thing, which technically you didn't really get this for turkey hunting, but like I feel, and maybe this has nothing to do with turkey hunting, but in general for like when it's deer season, I think it was like 2 years ago you purchased trail cameras.
Yep.
And I feel like that was like a game changer, a big game changer for like our marriage, because I feel like you always were out scouting and trying to figure out like where the deer were and like all of that. But when you got those cameras, I noticed that like you were still obviously interested in going out and like checking the cameras and all that, but you didn't spend as much time out there because you could look at the cameras and figure out which bucks were where and like what their patterns kind of were and whatnot. So then you were able to spend more time here because you knew what was happening out there. So that is a huge plus. And I say, if you have even just a little extra money, buy the trail cameras. Then you can spend time with your wife and you can figure out where the deer are and all of that. And then you don't have to be out as much, so that you can actually spend time with your wife or spend time at home.
Yeah, you can spend time going through trail camera pictures together.
And then you can see really weird pictures of your husband on a trail camera at night.
That's true. Infrared is also not kind to the human face.
No. And also funny raccoon pictures that get on the trail cameras or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also at that time in my hunting career, I was starting to learn how much I was hurting things by walking around all the time, and how it's good to not spend so much time in there as well. Because, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that trail cameras do not show you, and you gotta hunt to know. But it's also good to realize there's a lot of hunts you might go on that all they're really going to do is wear you out or wear out your goodwill at home and probably spook the deer or turkeys. And so this year, as you noticed, I tried really hard not to go be out there all day for several days in a row. I would go out and hit it hard, and then I would take a day to kind of recover. And and I think that made a big difference in my mental state, which led to better hunts. Because I think if you go out and people are frustrated at you or you're frustrated with them, you're just not going to think like you need to. And so I think that it's really important to be on the same page with your spouse so that they can be a source of encouragement and help, right? And I think that all starts with your own selfishness and your own humility. If you are humble, if you are selfless, if you're willing to sacrifice some of the lower odds days, then you're going to get that support and that help and that encouragement. And that sort of teamwork makes a huge difference. Because I know that before we got married, strangely enough, I was not as motivated to hunt as once we did get married.
Yeah.
And that seems kind of backwards, right?
I gotta get out of here.
But it helped me because you have helped me realize what things are really important to me.
Yeah.
And because of that, I've realized, hey, I want to get out there and hunt worse than I want to get an hour of sleep.
Yeah. And like I was saying earlier today, like we both, you and I know that hunting and being outdoors in general like calms your mind, and you are a better thinker, a better like person, like you're better being able to process things, whether they're like just normal things or whether there's something hard that we're going through. Like you are able to process things better when you have spent time outside or hunting, and just being able to like clear your mind. So I know how important that is for you to be, it sounds silly to say this, but to be a better human.
Yeah.
If you spend time outdoors. And I think that a lot of times, like, I don't want to put this on a lot of women out there, but I think a lot of times women have negative, like things to say about hunting. And I'm not saying that they don't have the right, because sometimes husbands or men out there that are hunters spend a lot of time out there and don't actually prioritize the woman. And I feel like they obviously need to do that so that the woman can give them their time to go out there.
Yeah.
But like, I think that a lot of women have negative thoughts towards it because they don't realize that sometimes the men need to be out there to have a clear mind, because that is sometimes how, people like guys like you process all of the thoughts and everything. Sometimes they just need to step out of, I don't know, everyday things so that you can process what's going on, and then you can be better here at home.
Yeah. And it makes you more thankful for what you do have at home. When you go out to turkey hunt and it starts raining and you crawl through thorns and you're trying to chase down these sopping wet turkeys and they're not cooperating. Like, how many times do I come home from the woods and I hug you and I'm like, you smell so much better than the woods, or you smell so much better than the fish?
A lot of times.
Yeah, and it makes me a lot more grateful to be home when I know I have someone who supports me getting to be myself.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And I always want to support that in you as well.
Yeah, and I think that's the main thing, is that, like, I mean, marriage is give and take.
Yeah.
And we need to, like, support our person.
Yeah.
And what has made it easier for me, and, well, not even easier, it's made it easy for me, is you support me in what I love to do, and you want me to be the best that I can be. And so for me to love you for you is to let you do what you love.
Yeah.
And so when you give me the chance to do stuff that I love, if I truly love you, how could I not let you go do those things?
Yeah. Yeah. It's something that blows my mind all the time, is that someone will fall in love with another person for the way they are.
Yeah.
And then they'll try to make them stop doing everything that makes them who they are.
Yeah.
Right. Like, when you agreed to marry me, you knew that I loved the outdoors.
Yep.
So, so much. And you've never tried to make me be some other person than I am.
No, and there was, like, a learning curve where we had to, we had to learn how to navigate that. And, like, I mean, you had to give up on some hunts because I needed you at home, especially because moving here was just such a big transition.
Absolutely.
You had to give up on some hunts because I needed my person to support me in hard times of just, like, missing my family or whatever. And then, you know, there was also the things of, like, cooking in the kitchen together, like, you learning to cook and clean up or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, you've always been good at, when you bring stuff home, it's pretty much ready to cook. You just have to, like, if it's fillets, you just have to, like, rinse them out, put them in a container and freeze them.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, if it's deer, it's usually processed. Or, like, the 1 year we went over to Grandma and Papa's and we processed it together. Well, I didn't process it. I vacuum sealed it, or, like, wrapped it and marked out which piece was which. And
yeah, because you have good handwriting, so that helps a lot.
Yes. Yeah, so, like, there's give and take, and it's been, like, a learning curve, and there's been a lot of times where, like, I have had to learn, okay, he needs this, so I need to let him go do that, because why would I not? Also, it's, like, it's not like I really need him at home. Like, if it was something that I was going through a really difficult thing or something, obviously I would say that I needed that. But
yeah.
And I have learned that, like, in our marriage, is that, like, there are times where I actually do need to say, which sometimes I am not great at this, but I actually do need to say, I need you at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the important thing, is, like, for couples out there, is, like, the women need to give the guys a chance to go out and hunt.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you do need to be honest and say when you need him home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think that when you give him the chance to go out and you're gracious about that, I think that it then gives the opportunity for him to be gracious when you say, actually, I really need you home.
Yeah. I think that a lot of it comes down to being where you are. Whether that's staying at home or whether that's hunting, be there fully if you can. I don't want to be out hunting stressed out because I know I left a mess back at the house. I don't want to be at the house with nothing to do when I know bucks are going crazy in the woods, right? So there's an there's an amount of forethought that you really want to have so that not only can you with your spouse fully be there when you're there, but when you're out, you can fully be there. And I really think that truly nobody wants just one thing every day for the rest of their life. Life is about variety, right? Variety is the spice of life. You have been so easy to get along with sometimes with deer hunting especially that I've had the opportunity 2 years in a row now to hunt all day for 6 or 7 days in a row. Mm-hmm. And what I find out is I don't really want to deer hunt every day. Not really. It sounds so glamorous. It sounds so nice. It sounds like exactly what I want, but that's not really what I want. Now, it's still good to do. Am I going to still probably try and do that? Probably. But when you're out there, it helps you realize the things that you really appreciate about not being in the woods every day.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, getting to sit somewhere comfortable, getting to eat a warm meal and
getting to sleep in a little in a cozy bed and not be out in the rain.
Absolutely. And there has to be a time for each. Like, you can't let the laziness take over one way or the other. So it really is nice to get to have a variety of those things. And I think that being married causes you to interface with that balance in a different way than you normally do. So I've found now I would rather have one really high quality outdoor day where I don't have a lot of other stuff on my mind and I can spend that time than like 10 days where I know that my life is falling apart. And there's a balance there too, because I think a lot of people can get so caught up trying to catch up with everything that they forget to hunt at all. Or they can get so caught up with hunting that they forget to be there for their spouse at all. And I think it's really important to find that balance. And everybody's going to have it different, but I always seem to know when I'm there or not.
Yeah, and I mean, you said something earlier that, like, was a key thing, is that, like, you, wherever you are, you want to be there.
Yeah.
So, like, when you are out hunting, that's where you are, and, you know, like, all that, whatever. But then when you're at home, you're at home. And so you are with me and like devoted to me and spending time with me, because you know that when you do that, it allows me the opportunity to be totally fine with you going out.
Yeah.
And so,
and it's good for me too. I don't want it to sound like I just manipulate you so I can go out.
Oh no, it's not. It's not very that good at all. For me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that at all. It's like, it's just that, like, the point that I'm trying to make is that when you're here, you are a good husband. And I think that that's what's important, is that, like, it's not like you're deer hunting and then when you're here, you're like, go make me supper or something. Like,
no, I'm not like that at all.
No, because typically he cooks all the time. But it's like, so what I'm trying to say is that when you're here, you are a good husband. Mm. And you're here and you help me with things and you spend time with me. So it's easier for me to let you go out hunting. And it's not that I have to let him go out hunting. Like, I don't want to make that sound like I'm in control, because I'm not. Like, if you truly love your person, you're going to let them do what they love.
Yeah.
So it's just the point that, like, when you come home and you're a good husband, it makes it so much easier for me to let you go do what you love. And I think that that's really important. And I think that as your wife, for me to love and support you is to let you do what you love, like I said earlier.
Yeah,
and so then when you come home and you love me and you are helping me with stuff, it makes it a whole lot easier. And it's just, it makes it worth it, because then you spend time with me and it makes it seem like those times are special and everything.
Yeah.
Which obviously time with you is special, but
it is easy to get caught in the mundaneness of marriage, right? If I never went out hunting, you'd never be happy to have me back home because I would just still be here. Yeah. I would still be that guy that's over there on the couch or over there in his office or or anywhere. And I think that it's good to be a good deer hunter in the woods and a good husband at home, right?
Yeah, and you have a good balance of that, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to the you never really want to do just one thing always.
Yeah.
You need those times apart and together to grab perspective and to, because, I mean, how many times has it been where we've been stuck inside for a few days? We start arguing about the dumbest things
that's
ever.
That's so true.
And why is that? Is because we've lost our perspective.
Yeah.
When you go out there and you see how a buck deer treats his woman, it makes you want to be a better husband. You're like, that ain't right. He's not treating her right. In fact, I probably need to shoot him for it. You see the way a tom turkey struts up on any old female who runs in. It makes you miss your wife sometimes. No, not really. But I think there is something to that because the time that you spend out, it makes you grateful for what you have.
Yeah.
And I think that it's so easy to get this sort of grass is greener mindset that you lose what's really great in front of you. And that's why I really want to drive home the point of when you're at home, be at home. Mm-hmm. Because I have spent, and I'll tell on myself here, I've spent a lot of time e-scouting from the couch right next to you.
Yes.
And I might as well be in the woods, right?
Yeah.
And that's okay too. Those times are okay, but it's important to know when those times are happening.
Yeah.
And when they're not. Because I think with society the way it is today, with our phones in our hand, you get just terrible mission creep where, okay, we're spending time together. Oh, wait, I've got OnX pulled up on my phone. Oh, what's this little pinch point? Oh, I wonder if turkeys are out strutting in this field. And then all of a sudden, I'm not really doing either. I'm not hunting and I'm not at home.
Yeah.
And you can live in this weird purgatory where you're not really being anywhere. And so you're always good to help remind me of that. And it's an important thing to be reminded of.
Yeah.
Yep. We've said it all. No. So, okay. So marriage tips. Let's think. What else in regards to hunting? What else has been helpful to us or not? I mean, the individual containers was huge.
Yep. And vacuum
sealer. Huge.
That's the next step.
Buy a deep freeze, probably. That's what we need to do.
Yeah. Yeah, because right now we've got our little 5-cubic freezer, and it's too full of fish and venison and...
In fact, I don't even have any of my deer in it because it's full of fish, so...
Yep. Yeah. Your parents have a big deep freezer, and so we keep a lot of venison over there.
Okay, let's see. I think we have covered a lot of really good stuff here.
Yeah.
Thank you for being on the podcast, man.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. So for all of you folks listening at home, thank you guys for tuning in to this episode. If you want to follow along with the podcast, I'm kind of doing stuff a little different. I'm trying to cover some topics besides just the strategy of turkey hunting. Now that we're moving into the off season, I want to speak on things that are a little bit more general and they can have a little wider range of application. So if you want to follow me, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. You can also email me, howtohuntturkey@gmail.com. Please leave this podcast a 5-star review if you can. That helps me out a ton. Thank you so much for listening, and take somebody hunting.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.